Explanation is stupid because it's not explainable. I'm saying that Moses had a mistake and God is talking to him and turning me around. How could I explain that? I'm trying to, but it's not explainable. He arrived to another step that, what? You do this, you do that, but transformation will come just like that. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you fall in love. You don't walk in love. You don't open and go in love. You just fall in it. Suddenly you're not you anymore. It's that different. Yes?
And if I should speak, it would root up minds. And if I should write, it would shatter many pens. When Moses heard these reproaches from God, he ran into the desert in quest of a shepherd.
What was all of this? A lot of exaggeration, love, love, good stuff. The poetic in Persian is lovely. But what? What did you get from that?
It's something that cannot be explained.
Which is?
Love, I guess.
Did you see the end? What was the outcome of it?
Moses went in search of the shepherd.
Suddenly Moses will become restless. This is the difference between the knowledgeable fellow who was saying this is right, this is wrong, don't do it like that. Now he's restless. How? We don't know. That's how it happens. A lover will become restless. Who doesn't like a very comfortable couch? A lover cannot sit on a couch. That's the point. Moses will be transformed to become restless, to cover up for the shortcoming. His shortcoming was he was thinking about talking. Now he had to run, to look for, to search, to walk. Again, looking for the shepherd, yes?
He pushed on over the footprints of the bewildered man. He scattered dust from the skirt of the desert. The footsteps of a man distraught is, in truth, distinct from the footsteps of others.
Who said this? Rumi. Moses is not talking. Rumi said, remember, the footstep of a fellow here is the shepherd, the fellow in love. It's not a simple stuff. It's not like that. Yes?
One step like the rook from top to bottom. One step he goes crossway like the bishop. Now lifting his crest like a wave. Now going on his belly like a fish. Now riding his stake on some dust like a geomancer who takes an omen by drawing lines.
You see, he gave you a lot of different explanation. The interesting stuff is this fellow likes to be quiet. And his nickname he chose for himself in poetry is Quiet Fellow. And doesn't like to talk. 37,000 verses here. And he will repeat that, I want to make it short. I want to make it short. And we know he wants. But some places he will give us another example, another example, another example. This is not to insist upon something. This is just to give you the picture that there is no one way. With one word you cannot explain it. I'm talking about the footstep of a lover, right? Of course, I could go to the checker play and explain it to you that some go this way, some go diagonal. Then I could explain it like the fish and the wave and the ocean. I could explain it like writing down something. You could write it down on a gravel. You could write it down in enigmatic stuff like this voodoo stuff. There are so many different ways. They are not normal. They are not like non-lovers. They could be any. There are so many different ways for that. Yes? Moses found him.
At last he overtook and beheld him. The giver of glad news said, "Permission has come. Do not seek any rules or methods. Say whatsoever your distressful heart desires." Your blasphemy is religion.
Of course, that word is not permission, it's order. It's das tun. The order has came that you, the lover, don't look for the ritual and priorities. When you are the lover, talk from your heart. That's it. Yes?
Your blasphemy is religion, and your religion is the light of the Spirit. You are saved, and through you, a world is in salvation. O you who are made secure by God does whatever he wills, go, loose your tongue without regard.
Okay. Now up to here, Moses realized his mistake, which we have seen this mistake before. Remember? Caliph called the lady and said, "Hey, I'm looking at you and you're not that pretty lady. That because you're not the lover, you're not the Majnun." Here God told Moses that, yes, you know the rituals and the rules, but you're not that lover. Therefore, even Moses should look for a lover. And the order for the lover is, do whatever you like. As you wish. I'll ask you why. Why? Why shouldn't I do whatever I like and a fellow who is lucky and fell in love do whatever he wishes? This is no fair. Is it?
What he wishes is God, what God wishes.
Hmm?
Because he's a lover, but he only wishes what God wishes.
So?
Yeah, no self.
There's no self there. It's not him, it's only God. The attraction of God is what's calling everything out of him.
Look at the next verse. That's why.
God doeth so whatever he wants.
Because the lover, when you tell him do whatever you want, he doesn't do anything. He just wants to love. There is nothing, there is no self over there. When you tell him do whatever you're pleased, he's pleased only with that, nothing else. There is no ego. There is no spirit to revolt and do something bad. Because he is lover, and lover doesn't do bad. That's why. Yes?
He said, "Oh Moses, I have passed beyond that. I am now bathed in heart's blood."
See, he doesn't need this gift. The gift for him was there to send him away, to feel the distance again and be motivated to come back. That's what the role of the lover is. Yes?
"I have passed beyond the low tree of the farthest Lemon. I have gone 100,000 years journey on the other side. You applied the lash and my horse shied, made a bound, and passed beyond the sky. May the divine nature be intimate with my human nature. Blessings be on your hand and on your arm."
This is the difference. He punished the guy who kicked him out. Now Moses comes back apologetic that do whatever you want to say. "Oh no, thank you. You did me a favor. I realize that I'm wasting my time talking to you." You see, that's how it is. The subject of love, no matter how you approach it, will show you that it doesn't obey the logical rule. It's the exception. Yes?
"Now my state is beyond telling. What I am telling is not my state. You behold the image which is in a mirror. It is your image. It is not the image of the mirror. the breath, what the flute player puts into the flute. Does it belong to the flute? No, it belongs to the man.
Ah, okay. What are all this? The guy is not actually teaching something to Moses. Story finished. Room is going on. The guy is talking to teach us something. Because this is the guy who knows, right? What is he explaining? He will put a very special points here, side by side. First of all, he said, now my hall is not explainable. And whatever I tell you is not my ahval. Means my moment is different, and whatever I tell you is different. Two way of differences. First, the picture you see in the mirror is not in the mirror, it's your picture, period. The mirror will show your picture, why? Because mirror is really selfless. Mirror is the fellow with no show off. This is what our master is for us. The peer is a mirror, because there is no self over there. Therefore, what I see in my peer is my own picture. Because at the end of the day, whatever I see is my own reflection. Because this is the subject of improvement here. So, relatively, you have to know that when you're looking at something, what you see may not be what there is. And there is a proportionality as well, or a way of accordance. Like the way that a fellow will blow in a flute or in a nail. How does he do it? Depends on the flute and the nail he's playing. If he's playing a very small nail, he doesn't blow too much in it, right? So there is a relevance between the messenger and the receiver of the message. And, yes?
Take good heed, whether you speak praise or thanksgiving, know that it is even as the unseemly of that shepherd. Though your praise is better in comparison with that, yet in relation to God, it too is mean.
Means, okay, let me tell you what's wrong with the way Moses started it. Means the logical way. In logical way, when you start to talk about sophistication, means never is good enough. Because whatever level of sophistication you could imagine a better level. Therefore, this is bad. Because over there you are trapped in quantities. Here we are calling about quality. Remember, you cannot be 98% in love. There is no such stuff. Here you will say, this is how it is. If you notice that somebody is doing it bad, yours is better. Notice that somebody is doing it better than you. So what? It's always relative, yes?
How often will you say, when the lid has been raised, this was not what they were thinking. This acceptance of your praise is from mercy. It is an indulgence, like the prayers of a woman suffering from a heavy period. Her prayers are stained with blood. Your praise is stained with assimilation and qualification. Blood is foul, and it goes by water, but the inward part has impurities, which fell not from the interior of the man of works, except by the water of the grace of the Maker.
Oh my God, if it was translatable. Anyhow, he's talking about what? A very clear stuff that, listen, if you are a logical fellow and you have a very high level of techniques and rituals and everything you know, is this the best or Is it possible that someone will do it better than you?